Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.
The deepest intimacy you'll ever experience is not with another person. It is truly with yourself, your higher self, your soul. So everybody thinks the fifth dimension is a destination the earth is changing. It starts within you. Your outer world reflects your inner world. Nothing is outside of you. Everything is within you. You have to build it within yourself. The sacred relationship between you, your golden one, and the creator. Align with your true authentic self. As we raise our frequency through presence, truth, coherence, and conscious connection, more of the soul can be embodied within our lives. Our awareness expands, our love expands, our trust expands, and our remembering who we truly are starts to expand more into knowing. Know yourself at the deepest soul level.
Sitting in a high chair at just over a year old, Brenda Zeibert turned blue and stopped breathing. Her family thought it was nothing more than a scare, but she says that was the moment that her soul left and another soul walked in. Decades later, a heart attack on an IV drip table brought her face to face with death once again. She came back a completely changed person. Today, Brenda is a galactic architect, sound healer, and she's a featured author in our latest book, The Awakened Healer, 18 Pathways to Healing, Wholeness, and Conscious Living, available now on Amazon. In this episode, you'll learn what it means to remember who you really are and how to find sacred connection within yourself before looking for it anywhere else. I'm your host, David Trotter. Welcome to the Awakened Magazine podcast. Brenda, it's great to be with you today. Thanks so much for taking time to join me.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here, and it's a privilege. Thank you.
Yeah, we are going to have a great conversation. And I'm first of all curious about your own awakening to consciousness, mindfulness, spirituality. I know you've gone through a massive change the last couple of years, but I want to go back to childhood. That's always like where I like to begin. And I wish I had like a photo album of you as a little kid, because that would be even more fun. Tell me about, did you grow up with some sort of faith experience or spirituality, or did that come to you later in life?
Great question. Big one. I did not grow up with a religion. My father was raised in a Catholic orphanage and had no religion after that in his life. And it was during the Depression, so you can imagine. I actually grew up in Illinois on a farm, 200 acres, and my father was a carpenter. So it was really a humble experience. We had animals. I had a Shetland pony, and it was adjacent to thousands of acres. So I was always out in the woods as a little person riding my pony everywhere. And he was actually a guide, and my pony was with me till I was almost 18. So I grew up with horses, animals, well water. I grew up with organic food. We had big farms, 5 acres of just food, and my mom canned. So it was a different life, and there was nothing else in my life. I was very isolated. And it really didn't begin at that point. My true awakening began in the 60s when I walked in. I'm a galactic hybrid walk-in. So the soul chose to leave around 12 to 14 months old, and my soul walked in. So when you come into a body, it's kind of hard. So there was a lot to learn, but I always knew there was more to life and to the whole family dynamics than what there was. And as I grew up, it became more relevant as I had experiences that I grew up in a very, violent family, because in the 30s, you know, the 50s, well, the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of alcoholism and a lot of difference, right? So I grew up very brutal. So they would always take me on ships, and they would counsel me. So I always had these beings with me that counseled me with love, but I didn't really know who they were. It really profoundly changed in 2008 when I had galactic ships that came to my house. They don't fly by, they come and they get acknowledgement until I acknowledge them. And then they stay for a few minutes before they leave. And at that time, I have remembrance of my body going into like starlight, like white particles, and it would go up through the ceiling and into the ships. And that was happening for a few weeks. And at that time, I came back with a big like mark on my lower back. It was an inch by inch by inch deep. And my kids all freaked out. And I was like, well, I was a little bit mad because you don't know what it is that they did. And they finally told me that I was going to expire. So they rebooted my whole system, like a new hard drive. And in 2008, per se, is when everybody got the email from the 60s and so that came in to help the world shift into higher consciousness. It was time to wake up. So at that time, it was really profound that my awakening from the third density was starting to remove. And that's when I started doing more spiritual work of like your Reiki or other ones. And I became a big sound healer. So I have about 100 crystal bowls. And I started doing conferences, doing sound healing and doing energy work and frequency work with the bowls on people. And it's been really profound. I was doing a lot of conferences and getting out there. And in October 23, I stopped because then I realized like we don't heal anybody and people were having a hard time working with their selves, healing their distortion in their bodies. And at that time, a galactic technology entered my body. And it was pretty intense. And I'd hear gears entering in my head go, they were adjusting it for like 6 months. And that was a prelude to the full change that happened to me this last December 19th, 2025. I went into a facility for an IV drip. I was traveling a lot for work. I was really dragging for the holidays and I just wanted a boost. So I wanted a B complex drip and maybe some NAD, which is vitamins for your cells. Nothing big, nothing I haven't done. So I went in there, I was sitting there, had my IV drip, and then she started the NAD. And what happened when they started the NAD, I've had 500 milligrams before. This is only 200, just a boost. It came into my heart so fast, it started hurting. Like, and I told her, my heart is hurting. And she was an ER nurse sitting across from me. And she's going, no, you're fine. And I said, no, you don't get it. It went into my legs so fast and down into my feet. I said, they're numb. I said, I can't even feel them. It came up and it went across my whole chest. And what it was a full-fledged heart attack. The technology kept my body alive. And at that time, my spiritual team, my soul, I call her my golden one, came in. They took my 3D out, my body, my soul essence, because I finished my contracts. My contracts were so complete. And I refused to come back. So then they took the fifth dimension aspect of my soul and put that into my body. I was gone 2 to 4 weeks in Earth time, gone. And it could have been 30 seconds to 10 minutes in Earth. I wasn't returning. So the higher aspect entered. And then at that time, everything profoundly shifted in my life. Like I woke up to who I was. I am an architect. I'm a creator of realities. And people ask, what is that? I create worlds. I create realities. I bring remembrance into form. So it's through remembrance that we can bring into the earth. And so with that, on December 21st for the winter solstice, I usually go outside. I dedicate an hour and a half to myself every morning to connect with the earth, to connect with my spiritual team and to channel and journal. And when I was out there at about 4:30 in the morning, I started seeing like Nerf ball sized lights come in and they were across the sky from the east to the west, about every 10 feet apart. And I looked up again and they started moving and I got dizzy. And they told me they were the codes coming in for the solstice, the winter solstice. And I asked, will everybody receive these? They said, no, they'll go around them like water. Who don't need them or want them. The people that are ready will accept them. And then I seen the ship that came because it was like 20 paces behind off center and it collapsed time and space as it went. And they lasted for about 2-3 minutes. And that was a profound change of a lot that started happening in my life. So it's really a profound awakening of a whole life experience.
My goodness, Brenda, that was, I've asked that question a lot of times, and that was the most intense answer I think I've ever gotten. That was a lot. Awesome. I would love that. Okay, I want to go back to the very beginning. You said at 12 to 14 months of age, you had a soul exchange. Is that what I heard?
Yes.
And do you remember that happening, or was that meaning like, how do you remember that happening? Did they tell you that happened, or do you remember it happening?
Kind of both. Like I took care of my mother before she passed away a few years ago at my house, and she was with me for 4.5 years, and I reminisce over everything. And I already knew this before, but she solidified it. She would tell me, yeah, when you were a baby in the high chair, you turned blue for over 2 minutes. And everybody at the table, my brothers and sisters, remember when they were here, they laughed at me. And they don't understand, the soul died. It choked. It didn't want to be here no longer. And at that time, because there's about a 2.5 minute window that a soul can leave and a soul can walk in, so that the soul can, the body still sustains. So at that time, I already had it confirmed with other beings that that happened, but that solidified it, like that's absolutely what happened. So the soul left. Now the question becomes, my friends ask me, was it a soul aspect of yourself, your own soul, or was it a different soul altogether? Because different
souls. That was my next question.
Yeah, when they walk in, some people, like if you walked into my body, you'd go like, what is this? And you would just do the opposite of whatever the soul was doing. That body was so little, I don't think it really matters. But what I did take on was very hard contracts. So it's the contracts and the purpose of the experiences that forged me in the false reality of this earth very young.
Mm-hmm. And so would that involve the alcoholism and violence? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Like it was a very hard contract. So when we go into it, like I write about it in my book, but it's more like the alcoholism, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, the psychological abuse, and then like being raped and being molested, like all of it is hard. And then you think about it and you think, huh. And there are aspects my team taught me about all that. So I get it. And then at 17, I went into the military for 6 years, the Army National Guard and Reserves. And my father had a sign, because you can't go in that early. And so that just solidified more psychological, right? I had a lot of experiences by the time I was 18. And then you experience the relationships and everything else before I really awoke in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so take me back to 2008. I mean, you had a lot of details in there. Remind me again what happened in 2008.
So in 2008, I was a single mom. I think by that time I was about like 2004. I had my own place with my two children and my grandchildren. So I was playing with my son and I went out my back door. And you'll remember, you could appreciate this. Remember the old concerts where you would see those concert lights going, those big strobe lights in the air? I seen them way off in the, you know, the distance, and I'm like, oh, there must be something going on out there. And then all of a sudden they got closer, and then they became purple, like a beautiful violet purple. And I looked straight up, and there were three ships sitting there, because the lights went right up with them. And they stayed there for about 2 minutes, and then they went in perfect formation across the whole sky. And I'm like, wow, like that was my real first galactic in your face, we are here experience. And what it was,
did you freak out?
No, you can't. So here's the thing. People always want to know why ships don't come to them. It's the frequency of your heart. Mm-hmm. Your galactic team can't acknowledge you until your frequency is raised, right? Mm-hmm. So it was around that whole time that the ships were taking me and they did surgery on me because I was going to die. They said, they explained it like, you're going to expire. So same.
Were you having health issues at the time, or they were just, they just had an awareness that something was coming.
In a sense, yeah. Okay. So in that time I was waking up, and what happens when you don't have, when you grow up in an environment like that, you do not have physical boundaries. So therefore you don't have spiritual boundaries. So when I woke up, everything was coming in, the economy, the light, the dark, everything. So they had to intervene to stop. So I could learn boundaries, if that makes sense, spiritual boundaries.
Sure. And this is the time where the 1 inch by 1 inch by 1 inch was implanted in your lower back. Is that right?
They took it out. It was a whole gouge out of my back. They rebooted my whole system. I can't tell you physically what they did within me. I know I have a lot of technology in me. And in 23, when I had a crystal break in half, technology came out of it. It felt like a gnat getting in your nose, but it was a metallic hard. And I felt it coming up my chest and going in, and it lodged in my face. And at that time, there was actually a galactic battle over me, because this was off-planet technology that got into me from a different crystal. And the beings that were here a long time ago wanted the technology, And at that time, the Venetians, the white light from the Venetians won, and they protected me. But it went on for weeks, and it wasn't a fun time in my life because I almost died. So there's been a lot that they've helped me. And when you choose to incarnate with harder contracts, they're there to support because you have a mission. But you still have to learn the whole third density, and you need to experience it. If you don't experience the dark, you're never going to learn the light. How do you know what you're working towards, right? Mm-hmm. And I can say through a lot of that to today's time, I do have a lot of out-of-body experiences. I've been on off planets. I know my galactic teams very intimately, and everything is happening right now in all time and space. So there is no time in their space. It is in ours. So when I'm sleeping, like, I will go to planet the Sirius B where my husband is, and I've bonded with my aspect there. And when I come back and swimming in those waters and being with them, the love is so profound in my heart. I can't even function for a few days because they're at a whole different frequency. Right. Wow. So I have a lot of profound experiences. How's that? It's narrowing it down to help understand. It's really very galactic.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Yeah. How do your kids navigate this as you share these things with them?
Well, they've lived through it with me and my one daughter, and I want to laugh. She's like, we should have a TV reality show. And I said, don't even go there. Right. Because there are a lot of paranormal activities that happen around me, with me, and the stories I tell them or my dreams when I wake up, I go, you won't believe where I was last night. And they listen, and they, you know, I have a hard time being around people because I don't watch TV news. I haven't engaged in the 3D in years, and I'm at a higher frequency, and they get it, and they just listen, and they embrace it. How's that? And they want to get there. And the issue remains that there's still too much distortion in their young years, right? Mm-hmm. So it takes time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet, as you said, you don't watch TV, you don't really engage in the 3D world, but yet you have a full-time corporate job, essentially.
I do. I work in supply chain. I negotiate contracts. It can be from divestitures, joint ventures, to $5, $20 million for supply chain. I work with a lot of very high professionals. I was in aerospace over 13 years, semiconductor, medical. And it took me a long time because I've worked with brilliant people. And you have to separate because you're inundated every day at every workplace with read this, do that, acknowledge this. I get KPIs. I get we need metrics. But I've always ignored them because I had the guidance and the foresight. When somebody gave me a vision, I already seen their end. It was just putting everything in place. And strategy comes easy for me. Business is almost child's play, if you will. It's the people's frequency that creates a distortion. So you have to understand where people are at. And I had to mask some things because when you're around a lot of people, I could smell their sickness. Like one guy had cancer. I could smell it, and the best described is like a green pus that you were just sick of. And it's like, I don't want to smell this. So I had to close things off, like, I don't want this, we're not doing this. And I just filter in the world what is only needed for those negotiations. I love mathematics. I love, I have to challenge my brain. We're here to learn and have experiences. So I have a master's in global business management, but I say my spiritual degrees, there's so much more, right? So it's balancing and walking in both worlds with a structure of boundaries and being in your true authentic self and not letting any distortion from those come into you, if that makes sense. Because there's a lot of distortion.
Yeah. When you say the word distortion, what does that mean to you?
People that, and it's not that, it's the earth that acknowledge, like, let's say I'm going to play out politics. I'm going to play out economics. I'm going to play in the stock market. I'm going to play the acronyms behind my names. Spirit doesn't acknowledge any of that. They acknowledge your wholeness. The universe, collective consciousness, sees you from your frequency. When you leave, and I've left, and I could tell you how and what they had me do before I even went there, is they see you by your frequency that you truly are. not the acronyms, not what you have in your bank account, not, you know, all the achievements, right? They do learn from us. I am a teacher to the Galactics as much as they are a teacher to me. It goes both ways. Everything does. And so they're always interested to know, like, well, why did you do that? Or how does it work in your body? So they are always tweaking our DNA. They are always working with us because they want the human to be at a very good physical body. We used to last a long time. And because of all the distortion, and I could go into all the different communities, picture it like a vision board. If I'm in a stock market community, I'm in there ringing the bell. If I'm in a UFO community, I'm over there like going at it. Or if I'm in a political, you know, taxation, I'm over there. You play in their fields and then you believe in their beliefs, and that's distortion to who you truly are. Your coherence is alignment with your golden one, your creator. Like, that is true coherence, and everything else falls away and it doesn't have any compatibility with you. It's like water and oil. Like, I don't play politic games. I don't watch TV. I don't watch and engage in a lot of the 3D semantics that go on. That is the shift. Like, people that are really entrenched into all of it live in that. People who are in the split, as they call it, live in a different reality where they don't engage in that. And that's distortion from a true coherence. Does that make sense?
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, it's beautiful. One of the things I'm curious about is you call yourself an architect and a guardian of living systems. And you describe that a little bit in the first part of, you know, your articulation of your awakening. But what does it mean to be an architect? It sounds like you're an architect in the 3D world as much as the 5D world. But what does it mean to be an architect and guardian of living systems?
That's a great question. Thank you. So they've taught me, I was forged with the Elohim. They're the creators of reality that bring it into the structure. And I'm a creator of galaxies, of worlds, of universes. And then once you forge the world, say Earth, and you come into the world to bring like light into matter and then coherence into remembrance to be sustainable, because it was gas in the beginning, right? And you have to form a structure. We're all architects. We're all builders of reality in our own reality. It's, do you give your power away or do you stay true to your path and your mission? I have remembrance of being Atlantis and Lemurian. I have remembrance of being there, and I worked in the light technology with the light pyramids and the light tunnels with the amp beings. They worked them, and amp beings are not small. They are 6 to 8 feet big. They're amazing. So it's bringing the remembrance back here, and it's anchoring into the earth and having the remembrance of who you are. And you do that with your alignment, and then you bring the architectural reality of remembrance here to Earth. That is a fifth dimension. That is how you leave a 3D when you align with your true self, right? And you remember who you are and everything else falls away. And the architecture is staying true to your path, your mission, knowing your context, your contracts and what you're doing versus having somebody else's vision boards. You live your authenticity, you walk your truth, and you stand in your power. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You touch base on many of these concepts in your chapter within our latest book, The Awakened Healer, which comes out July 20th, 2026. And your chapter is called The Architecture of Intimacy: Why Sacred Connection Heals the Body, Opens the Heart, Restores the Nervous System, and Returns Us to Ourselves. I'm going to say you're going to win for longest subtitle. Okay. You won. I love that though. Yeah. The architecture of intimacy. So yeah. When you talk about why sacred connection does all these things, heals the body, opens the heart, restores the nervous system, returns us to ourselves. What do you mean by sacred connection?
The deepest intimacy you'll ever experience is not with another person. It is truly with yourself, your higher self, your soul, who I call my golden one, in the creator. That is the true intimacy of the architect. It is not with a being. Because if you're given, if you're looking external, like I'm going to use your example. David, I'm going to look for you because I have insecurities. Can you provide that? And if you don't have that structure, you can't provide it. So we look in relationships for what we're lacking. We look outside of us to create what others haven't resolved in themselves yet. And they're still fractured, distorted, like their frequencies aren't truly aligned with their golden one and their higher self. And for me, that is the most fundamental aspect a soul can do, is align with their golden one and the creator. Through that, all else will come. I'm a conscious channel, so I don't channel the galactic beings through me, although they can come through because people see my face shifting sometimes, or my Native American guide will come through. They usually typically only go through my golden ones, so they're a collective consciousness. That's how I channel, like a collective consciousness. And they've taught me the intimacy of self, and it's knowing the self. I've been alone over 20 years, and I've had a lot of depth of learning myself. And now that they've brought me into a higher aspect, it's only gotten deeper. How's that? And more meaningful. So instead of looking external, we need to look internal to fix our own structure before we can do anything else. Right? And so it's a very beautiful foundation to have.
Mm-hmm. And what would you, you just mentioned one of the reasons why, I think, but my question is, what holds us back from having that type of sacred connection? So one of the things you just said was trying to find it in someone else, right? That's a, probably a big reason, but like, what holds us back?
You know, it, honestly, there is no right or wrong. Every soul is on their perfect path. There is no race anywhere. Everybody kind of needs to know that. And there are certain contracts that have agreed to come in to play the frequency they are. And we need to honor wherever they're at. So they still have unfinished business that needs to go. Everybody's not waking up with a big flash of light. The soul, the body couldn't handle it. Your body would expire. So there's going to be shifts of people, wave one, wave two, three, four, five, 30 years, 40 years. People will still play out their soul contracts they need to play out. So you have a prime person for a soul contract, then you have subcontracts that come in to support that contract. They're still going to go through what they want to do. If they want to be a politician or an economic or a spiritual teacher, they're still going to go down their path and do that. And there is no wrong. Their souls want to have experiences. So I would say half, if not more, is your soul contract. Aligning with your higher self, understanding your soul contracts, understanding the path that you came here to do, in honoring it, in knowing that you are in perfect, perfect balance with that frequency. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
You've talked a lot about soul contracts. And so these are contracts I'm assuming I've made with my higher self or with other people?
Well, it would be with your higher self and the creator. Like, we never die. Mm-hmm. We are infinite. And everything is playing out now. So your aspect of David now in the 3D is playing here, but you have other aspects all over. You might have 1,000 of you playing everything all around, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the frequencies that you need to learn. When the Earth wanted to go down into the lower density of 3D, we're all like, yeah, we want to play that. And we did. And now it's wrapping all up. So we're all at the cuspice of finishing contracts. So the new souls coming in are already formed at a fifth dimension frequency. That's why they're going to be so phenomenal, and that's how it changes. But everybody here still has a time to play, and when they want to, they can still play in a different aspect of the Earth, their 3Ds, because they still have to do all the 3D aspects. That's why Earth is just frequencies playing out, and they stop when you stop giving them attention. Mm-hmm. They just go away.
And so where are you at with your soul contracts? How are those things going for you?
My spiritual team, the collective, I have a lot of support. When I do healing work, I usually work in the unity field of consciousness. And there's a lot of galactics around me and other beings. They always ask me, like, I will know in the morning when I channel, they'll tell me, sister, we need to work on you today. We need to do a session. I'm like, okay, I don't argue no more. I just say how long and what's the major, you know, area we're going to focus on so I can give permission. And I usually go in different dimensions when they work on me, and I can see galactics all around me and hear and see what they're doing, but not always. Sometimes they just take me out of my body until they're done. And they fix different DNA perspectives or frequencies I need for what's coming up. So I honor that and I do it. So like a lot of them, when I talk about in my book, the Earth it's kind of like the Earth Activation Series in a sense. I travel a lot and I'll do a lot of weekend trips by myself. I was up in New Mexico at the Continental Divide. It was really beautiful. You have volcanoes from a long time ago with, you have ice caves below it and nobody knows how they're formed. But it's on the Continental Divide. So when you go there and you connect with the ground with your bare feet and your hands, it's kind of like you're activating the earth with your codex codes and the earth is activating you with theirs. So it's a shared experience. And my team will prepare me for anywhere I go to do that. Even when you're in an airport, you're still doing DNA codes and giving and receiving. And a lot of it could be with people all around you as they interface with you. So my soul contract is beyond on path, and I am now in these, from the winter solstice to the 21st of December till the summer solstice next week, June 21st, it's been an awakening phase of peeling back any third dimension reality that is still here. My house is for sale. I will be moving. And as I move, it's into a full fifth dimension frequency. And then 3D won't really be in my reality anymore because I'll be focused on the new earth. I've worked in a lot of my dream states with the galactics. I've already seen the light technology. I've already seen the live-in homes. I've already seen the technology that will be here because it's a remembrance. It's not that we're creating it. We're raising our frequency to have a better remembrance. And it's kind of like, it'll be phenomenal once we get there. It will take time. But as people say, oh, I have this gift, I have psychics, or I'm an empath, or it's actually you remembering you and you being more fully in your coherent state with your holy, you know, your golden one. And as you're more in focus and more in alignment with your true self, more of your remembrance of who you are come in, and it encompasses all the psychic abilities. It encompasses the remembrance. It encompasses knowing your contracts and your path. So I know it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. One of the things you state is that the fifth dimension is not a destination. It is a state of coherence embodied. And that's exactly what you were just talking about, an alignment with your golden one as well as with source.
Yeah. So everybody thinks the fifth dimension is a destination. The earth is changing. It starts within you. So as my third dimension density is falling away, my banking system, my job system, my belief systems, as they fall away, they can now build the new fifth dimension reality, and it lives within you. You have to build it within yourself because your outer world reflects your inner world. And so as I have more remembrance and I'm more in alignment with my fifth dimension, I can build my sanctuary where I'm going, right? I'm going to do horse rescues. There's going to be animals. I've already seen, like, from the galactics, like, there'll be animals that have been extinct that will come back. And there's other animal species that will be born here in the water and on land that we've never known. It'll take some time for them to come, but it's already happening. So you have to do your fifth dimension structure within. Nobody's coming to save us. It's all you with your alignment.
Some of what you're talking about feels very escapist, escaping from the 3D world to have this five-dimensional reality experience. And yet you're still here on this planet. You know what I mean? Like, how do you navigate that? You know, is it more, there are some who would like to remove themselves and be more of a solo experience of the planet and not interact with others, which that's totally like an option. Is that what you're drawn to? Or I guess the reason why I'm asking that question is because most people who are watching are listening to this, they got kids, they got a mortgage, they got a job, they got a spouse, they got, you know, a baby daddy, they got a, you know.
I have all that. I do. I have all that. So the fifth dimension is not escaping. It's being present and grounded in the earth. The fifth dimension comes from our scientists. It comes from our farmers. It comes from agriculture. It comes from teachers. It comes from having a higher consciousness. So as some of the structures crumble, the people that have the higher consciousness, even in politics, will step in and start rebuilding a coherent structure. It's not about escape. It's about being very present, being grounded to the earth, and being very here. Mm-hmm. I'm working with animals because I want to do a horse rescue center. So I'm at the age of, I'm 61 and I'm in the next stage of my life. Like, I'm kind of done working, but I still love doing contracts. I still love negotiating. And right now I am looking at companies that are very ethical. They are very into the future to help humanity, not take away. So we need to shift our focus into a state that is our passion and our path. You can't take a scientist out of a scientist. You can't take engineer out of an engineer. They will find their passion at a higher consciousness to bring that to the earth. So it's about having a higher structure that replaces what's crumbling, not escape it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I'm actually curious about negotiating contracts in a fifth dimensional sort of way, because when I think about somebody who's a contract negotiator, as someone who's never, I mean, I guess I've negotiated contracts, but not what you're talking about. I just envision somebody who's a number cruncher and there's this hard ball, like, nope, we're not paying more. And like, I don't know, like it definitely doesn't feel very spiritual. How do you see contract negotiation from a ethical fifth dimensional perspective?
You know, that's a great question. And it's one I've learned over my whole career. I have been in the supply chain contract business my whole like 30 years. And in the 80s and 90s, it was about taking everything from another source. And it's starting to balance, but there's still the old in machining, sheet metal, raw materials, and certain commodities that are still stuck in some of that. And when I look at the different technologies or different industries, there's more ethics. There'll always be key performance indicators, but it should be more compassionate, more, I want to say, a win-win. And when I do frame out contracts, I always point out the good and the bad. And I want them I want the marriage to start correctly. How's that? Because there's always a marriage and divorce sometimes. We want it to be on an even footing. And a lot of my contracts have statements of work. They could be 50 pages to 100 pages that go into project management. So everybody's always in cohesiveness with it. And sometimes it's not about how much money can I take. It's about how can we build the relationship to have something sustainable between both of us, so that we can have the better good for humanity. And that is tough. You have to work with top leaders that are CEOs and presidents of companies and have them see a vision differently. And there are some there, but it is a long haul yet. There's no easy path. And you got to start though. You have to start. And I've worked in my last 5 years or so with compassionate people that wanted fairness, which was really good. So business needs a shift. And that happens when we remove the distortion within us and see the compassion with everything we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You write about in your chapter in The Awakened Healer, a powerful meditation that you experienced in April of 2026 this year, prior to a trip to Ireland and Scotland. And tell us a little bit about that.
So that experience was one of those mornings when they said, we need you to do a session. And I'm like, okay. And then they told me, like, how do you look at intimacy? And I'm like, you know, then you're like, where are you going with this? But what it goes with is when I go in different dimensions, they started working on my body. And then my whole soul, my whole like, I want to say my root chakra, as big as your arms go around, started tingling. And it kept getting more intense to the point of you don't have any thoughts in your body anymore because you can't think. And then it moves up to your sacral and up into your body. It's not as intense because different chakras are different frequencies until your whole body is in a frequency of coherence. And they taught me the art of intimacy with your body is what we look for in a union with another being, right? It's right on that cuspice that you don't cross when you're in a meditation, but you're experiencing it for almost a half an hour. And what it does is it resets your whole nervous system. So nothing is outside of you. Everything is within you. It resets your nervous system, your brain, your heart, and it brings you in a coherent state of alignment. So intimacy with yourself or others, when you have that titanic, like that relationship, it's to be in safety, unity, and full trust, and it's to be in perfect alignment. And that's when your body, your nervous system resets. It's when you are in a state of bliss. They purposely did that because a few days later, I had something very hard happen. So they prepared my body for what was to come. And then I understood why they did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they prepared me.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you share in your chapter is a meditation that people can read. You encourage them to even record it and then so they can listen to it, which I think would be great. But I've asked you if you wouldn't mind leading us in a meditation today. Would you be open to that?
Yes, absolutely. So I would ask that everybody would relax, close their eyes, and just start to breathe. And as we breathe, I want you to breathe in your golden one. Breathe in. You are simply allowing yourself to settle, be here. There's nowhere you need to go. There's nothing you need to accomplish, and there's nothing you need to fix. Take these next few minutes to simply allow yourself to arrive. Breathe in your nose slowly and gently exhale. As you breathe in, allow the noise of the day to begin to just fall away. There's no responsibilities or expectations. There are no worries. The endless stream of information is gone. Allow it to drift by like leaves on a river, just floating away. And you're in a state of the now, the present. Know that you do not need to carry anything right now, but only return to home, to yourself, to your soul, to the home of the architect within. Now bring awareness into your feet. Feel the earth beneath you, steady, receiving, supporting. Imagine a pillar of golden light going straight down into the earth, into her heart, deep, deep down into the earth. And you connect your roots into it, and then connect into every ley line, every node, every grid, and feel the heartbeat of Mother Earth. Feel her steadiness. This light anchors you, stabilizes you, supports you through all your earthly embodiments. Say to yourself very quietly, I am here, I am present, I am safe in my body. Take another breath in and release all that does not serve you. It is not yours to carry. Now imagine a second column of light, golden light, descending above your head, in your crown, into a pure stream of creator light going up, up to the creator, flowing from the crown to the creator, moving gently and having that creator light coming down into your body, into your heart, moving gently through your body, connecting heaven and earth within you, above and below, spirit and matter. Meeting in the center of your heart, expanding like the sun. Take a moment to feel it. Feel the pulse. A living bridge of coherence. Warm, bright, infinite. This is the presence of your soul, the golden one, the sun. Align with your true, authentic self. This is a love you've been searching for. It is not outside of you. It is present within you. Allow the light to expand into your chest, your shoulders, your arm, your entire body. Every cell illuminating like a star, brilliant, shining, shimmering. Every breath is aligned. Every part of you remembering its true origin, your true design. Silently repeat, I am loved. I am whole. I am enough exactly as I am. Allow the golden light to continue to expand all around you, into your throat, your voice, your truth, your mind, your wisdom, your knowing, into every part of your field, allowing remembrance to return into coherence. Now imagine a soft sphere of golden light surrounding your entire body. This is the field of your coherence. Calm, present, intelligent, breathable, and alive. It does not block, it organizes. It does not resist, it clarifies. Within this field, only truth and coherence remain. Only what serves your highest good remains. Silently repeat, I choose clarity. I choose presence. I choose coherence. I choose love. I choose to know thyself. Take another breath in and release all that does not serve you. Allow yourself to connect with your higher self, your golden one, more fully, more present, your soul. The eternal aspect of you that has never forgotten who you are. Feel that presence standing with you, loving you, within you, as you. Silently repeat, I trust myself. I trust my soul. I trust the wisdom within me. Now simply rest. Feel the presence of your own being, the Creator. Rest in knowing you are supported, you are guided, you are loved. You are exactly as you are and as you need to be. Frequency is the vehicle. Love is the passenger. Raise your frequency and be with your golden one. As we raise our frequency through presence, truth, coherence, and conscious connection, more of the soul can be embodied within our lives. Our awareness expands. Our love expands. Our trust expands. And our remembering who we truly are starts to expand more into knowing. Know yourself at the deepest soul level. The sacred relationship between you, your golden one, and the Creator. Take a final breath. Breathe in. Feel the earth beneath you. Wiggle your toes and your hands. And come back into presence.
So powerful. So powerful, Brenda. Thank you so much. That was absolutely amazing. Yeah, I really had my own experience during that. That was absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, really good.
I love having people connect with their golden one and their higher self before they expand into other modalities, right, of meditation, so that you're in alignment and then your truth can arrive.
Yeah. I will say that experience with my golden one, mm-hmm. that was really a profound experience for me during this whole encounter. Yeah, something I'd never experienced before. I really, really enjoyed that. So
thank you.
Yeah. Talk to us about your architectural coherence sessions. These are one-on-one sessions that you have with individuals. What would that be like when someone signs up for one?
Thank you for asking. I do one-on-one sessions, and I have a monthly where I do a collective with as many people that want to be there. When I work with people, healers hold a coherent structure of where they're at in their life to help you align with your golden one, your higher self. And then sometimes it's not about like you're just going to flip on a switch and be there. It's about working through all the layers that you need to work through. So I work in the unity field of consciousness with my galactic team, and there's always a lot of beings around, and it's actually with your higher self working on you. You are the only one that can really do any healing to your body. Nobody can override your contracts or what you need to experience, but we remove blocks and bring you more into coherence so that you can see it with clarity and be on your path. So they're very profound. Some I verbally work with people and work with them in different coaching ways, and some it's all energy work and sound healing. So it's they're very profound.
Then that can be done from a distance, of course.
Yes, I do a lot of long distance right now. That's basically what I do right now. Yes, long distance.
Yeah. Are those an hour session, 2 hour sessions? What do those look like?
Traditionally, they're an hour. Some can be an hour and a half. Some can be they need to talk afterwards. And I honor a lot what the people need so that mm-hmm. they feel like they've had the experience that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And not only, of course, are you participating in The Awakened Healer, which I can't wait for people to read your chapter. It's absolutely excellent. But you have a new book that just came out this year called The Architect Returns. The Blueprint Was Never Lost.
I'm going to show it.
Here it is. Yes, with one of your paintings on the cover.
This is actually a Syrian being. If you look up on the top, you'll see a bird face. If I can get out of the reflection, there he is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it is a butterfly. It's kind of like the Syrian energy, and it is my awakening in my path, my galactic lives on Lyran, on Syrian with the Elohim. And it goes through what I learned in the codex to come back when I made a vow during Lemuria. And Atlantis, when it collapsed, I made the vow to come back when the earth was ready for coherence and the earth is ready to have a coherent state. So it's all the beings that mentored me over hundreds of earth years to be here now and that support me, the seen and the unseen. So it's very profound, you know, profound. And it's really a living book and living word. And every time I've read it 30 times, people who buy it will read it in a day and can't stop. And then they have to go back and keep reading it because it keeps changing the meaning. Some of them, when I write books, they're in different dimensions in time and space. I go back and read some of the channel messages, and they're so profound. I could write a book just on that message. So I personally love it. And I even have a conversation with my future self. And sometimes, like right now, through all the transition I'm doing, I will go back and read those words just to give myself comfort. So I love it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Of course, we'll link to that available on Amazon.
Yes.
You have Oracle decks as well. Do you happen to have any of those on hand to hold up for us? If not, we'll link to them, of course.
But so one of goes with the series of the architect. One is a dragon series. So the dragon series, when Serafina came in, my dragon, after I awakened, because she was with me in Lemurian. And again, the dragon community is by frequency also. And I've worked with the dragon community for a long time. So she's here with me. And one deck is on the dragons with Newgrange energy and awakening. And I do like their beautiful messages. So I did these graphic design and I had a lot of fun because normally I'm an artist that I channel my artwork, a conscious, you know, and this was a different kind. And then I did an architect message deck that goes kind of like with the book to give you more depth of messages from the architect. So I work with them every day. And from a third dimension, all my artwork, I have channel messages on them. And then the crystal bowls, because I work with them. I got to say, crystal bowls are phenomenal. When my team asks me to work with bowls, they tell me every time it goes through all dimensions, time and space. And it doesn't, although help me, it helps the neighborhood, the world, and then it helps other dimensions because the frequency keeps going. So crystal bowls are very profound. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so where can people book a session with you, follow you on social media? Tell us that website.
My name, BrendaZeibert.com, and they'll find everything that they need there. Yeah.
That's great. And of course, we'll link to your book, your oracle cards, your website, all of it. And I can't wait for people to read your chapter in The Awakened Healer. So Brenda, it is great to get to know you. Thank you for sharing so vulnerably about your story and the powerful things that you're doing for people and our planet. Thank you so much for all that you're doing.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.